You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, a podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Now, here's your host, Jake.
We are live. It's 9:40 in the morning Central Time. We are on the Good Company podcast. Shout out to Good Life t-shirts. I'm actually wearing my Good Life athletic t-shirt right now. Got to wear Good Life t-shirts on the Good Company podcast. We were just talking. My manager, Keith Gale, is right here behind me. He was saying we have over a couple hundred thousand listens of this podcast already. And not once has anybody seen in the room of the podcast that we make the podcast. We are in the studio, guys. That's John Anthony right there. Give it up for John Anthony.
Thank you.
Today is a special day for our podcast. Are we recording? I think we're already recording. Yeah, good. You're way ahead of me, John. Today is a very special day. We are having yet another podcast. This podcast will be out tomorrow, but for those of you guys that are watching right now, you're getting a little bit of the insight today before it's posted live. Now, what is this podcast all about today, my friends? Well, on Good Company today, we have my friends Chris Nathan and Zeke Hunter. For those wondering who Chris Nathan and Zeke Hunter is, or are, I should say, I'm going to give the phone right now to Keith Gale. He's going to film this so you guys can see. I know a lot of y'all are at probably work right now, so I want to keep this as engaging as possible. But it's 9:45 Central Time, 10:45 to those of y'all that are on the East Coast, and 7:45 out on the West Coast. So a little early.
Mountain time zone.
So shout out to a couple people that I see that are tuned in. Here we go. I'm going to turn this camera around. And we'll get in on this. Come on. All right. Here we go. All right, guys. Good Company podcast. Here we are. I put Chris Nathan and Zeke Hunter on the spot. Yeah. Chris Nathan is our production manager on the road. Zeke Hunter is our tour manager on the road. And with what, T-minus 13 days?
Just a little less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Less than 2 weeks to the Life's What You Make It tour starting in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We are currently in the works of doing rehearsals and getting everything ready. Yeah. And so I thought it would be great to not only talk about the fact that we're getting ready to head out on this headline tour called Life's What You Make It Tour. We're heading out with Chris Jansen and Jordan Davis, both great guys, great artists, and we're playing minor league baseball stadiums. The reason I wanted to have both you guys on here is y'all are very close in my life to what we do on the road and how we make this whole machine work. And so I wanted to introduce everybody to you, Chris Nathan, Mr. Production Manager out on the road, and Zeke Hunter, Tour Manager, which are two totally different jobs but have a lot of kind of overlapping, I would say, sort of intricacies to the to the business, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we definitely need to work together. Yeah,
it is a teamwork job.
Yeah, so absolutely. Let's get a little background before we get started. So first off, let's start with Chris Nathan here. What for these people watching? They have no idea what it's like to not only tour on the road. They just get to y'all hear the music. You guys get to come to the shows and see the lights and see the smoke and craziness. Not only production manager side, but how I met you, Chris. You started as our lighting guy.
Yeah.
So all the lights you guys see on the road, the crazy, great, beautiful light show. That's Mr. Chris Nathan, the brains behind that. But so for those out there, Chris, what is a production manager on the road?
Well, production manager is ultimately responsible for the production of the show each night and the tour in general overall. And it takes a lot of advance work. So, you know, many weeks.
Which I'm terrible at.
Right. Well, many.
That's why I have you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's it. So, many weeks before a given show, you're on the phone and you're talking about.
Let me pause you there for a second. So if we have a show, let's say next month, wherever it's going to be, how far in advance are you talking you're talking to the people, the venue, you're talking to the promoter, you're talking
to the counterparts of myself on their side, on the promoter side. I would say comfortably a good 4 to 3 weeks ahead of time.
That's interesting. You say 4 to 3 weeks. Most people would say three to four weeks.
Yeah, I know. That is a little weird.
You're kind of is that a production manager?
It is. Yeah. No.
You start with the high and go.
That is a little weird. But
so a month out, you're working on shows a month out.
Usually, yeah. You start making the phone calls and making contact and just talking about, hey, here's what we're doing, here's what we're bringing, here's how many trucks we have, here's how many buses we have, and I'm asking them, how do we get our gear out of these semis onto your stage, the process?
And
of
that's
that?
What's amazing is because the people out there that are watching this podcast live on Instagram right now, and those that will be listening to this when it goes live, don't realize that, you know, when they show up, but a lot in the same. I mean, these folks that come out to the show, some may have bought their ticket that day, but a lot of people bought their tickets months in advance as well. So a lot like us, they're counting down the days until that show day.
Right.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, and that's what I wanted to talk about today, was kind of all of the back, behind-the-scenes work that people don't see that you guys – y'all really are. I know they come out and they see Jake Owen's show, but it's the people behind the scenes that really make what we do happen. So moving over here to Zeke Hunter, the man from C-Town, Columbia, Tennessee. Shout out.
Yeah, what's good? What's good?
So Zeke is now our recently promoted tour manager. He has he's got some big shoes to fill. And by that, those of y'all out there that have been listening to this Good Company podcast, one of the first few that I did, I talked to the great Greg Fowler. And Greg Fowler is our tour manager on the road for well over 12 or 13 years, who is back home now in Fort Payne, Alabama, doing some great things for our charity and our foundation. And it was time after all those years, because as he was on the road, Greg Fowler with us for all those years, Zeke Hunter over here has been on the road just as long. And Zeke, you started with me on the road doing what?
Yeah. Well, I started 2007, into 2007, first 2008, just selling T-shirts.
Slinging that cotton.
Slinging cotton. And I remember my very first show, which was in Augusta, Georgia, and it was like
it was the country club.
Yeah,
that's what it was called.
Was it called the country club?
Yeah, because we're in Augusta, and the place is called a country club. Obviously, it's a golf town.
Right.
But literally, it was called the country club in Augusta, and it was in a strip mall, and it was right next to that smoke shop.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember it was that?
That's a whole other story. Yeah, that's what was that guy's name? Shaker.
He could tell a good story.
That was Valentine's Day. Free show Valentine's Day.
There was probably, what, like 200 people there, if that.
It was. I mean, the place was packed.
Yeah, shout out to Augusta Radio Station, by the way, for always helping us promote those shows. But so you were slinging T-shirts.
I was slinging T-shirts, and that was the first day I met Greg Fowler. And I want to throw a shout out to Greg Fowler because I do follow in his footsteps. And there were a lot of isms and wisdoms about the job, about being tour manager, that you know some things just you have innately, but other things have to be taught. And Greg Fowler was the best teacher in the world, and everything he told me that would happen was true. Like, and that's the one of the best parts about this. What I've learned in the last couple of weeks is that, you know, he said this will happen, this will happen. And every single bit of it has been true. And sometimes I catch myself just laughing, like, God, Greg Fowler, man, that guy knew it.
So Greg Fowler knows what's up.
He knows exactly what's up.
So but so before we move on to the tour managing side of things, because you work your ass off, Zeke. That's why you are where you are now in life. You worked your ass off before when you were slinging t-shirts. I mean, that's why we sold. That's why there's people out there wearing Jake Owens' face. That sounded weird. That sounded like that sounded like I was talking about myself in third person. But there are people out there that when I look out in the crowd and I see guys, girls with a huge picture of my face on their t-shirt. And it's funny because Zeke tells me this. I'm the guy that's like, man, we don't need t-shirts with my face on it. Okay. Like, let's just put some cool design on it or something, but we don't need the t-shirt face, okay? But he argues with me on this point because why?
Yeah, I mean, people want that, man. They want your smiling face on a t-shirt every day.
And I don't believe that. But then the other day we were playing with the guys. Shout out to the guys from Walker McGuire. Great guys, great show, great singers. But we were playing with them, and they walked up on the stage to watch our show. And
he had like a 1992 Alan Jackson photo t-shirt.
Yeah, he had a 1992 Alan Jackson photo tee. And it made me realize at that point that, yeah, like, you know, in 2035, probably somebody's going to go, is that a vintage 2010 Jake Owen face t-shirt?
Yeah, dude, strong Jake Owen tee right there. What is that, 2018 Life's What You Make It Tour? Hey, oh, my God.
Tell everybody that's watching on live on Instagram right now. Hey, by the way, to everybody live on Instagram, if you have any questions, feel free to ask, because Keith Gale, who's moderating this right now and filming, can fill me in on some of your questions here in a minute, and I'll answer some of your questions. But for those of you guys that are out there, I do think it's very well worth Zeke Hunter telling the story of the time that the guy walked up to the merch booth and wanted that 8-second ride tank top. So tell him that story.
All right, and I can't remember the exact town, but we were definitely in Iowa. And, you know, I'm selling t-shirts, I'm under the tent, and, you know, it's quite a big line. And a guy walks up, and he was a really, really little guy, and he had an Iowa woman with him, a beautiful Iowa woman with him, and he said, I'd like to buy that 8-second ride tank top. And I thought, okay, he's buying this for his girlfriend. And, you know, he said, yeah, I'll have an extra large. And I said, okay, you sure you don't want like a small? And he goes, well, it ain't for her, it's for me. And I said, oh, man, it's kind of a girl's tank top. And he goes, it says 8-second ride on it, doesn't it? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, that's my favorite song. And I was like, okay. And he goes, so just sell me the damn tank top. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to argue with that. I sell the guy the tank top. He's wearing a tank top. He peels it off with one hand and straps that bad boy on. And just, he like basically puts his hand in the back pocket of his girl's jeans.
And they walk off into the sunset.
That's it, dude. Let's get it.
Yeah, don't ever argue with somebody. If they want, give the people what they want.
That was one of my first lessons, and just shut up and sell the t-shirt.
That's great. See, that's the thing, man. You got to give the people what they want. We are in show business, and gets us back to both of you guys doing what you do. Chris, being a production manager, lighting guy, how do you even, for those out there that maybe want to be in the business, that don't want to be on this behind the microphone singing, that might want to do what you're doing, how do you even get into that? Because I was talking to Zeke earlier this morning about how you started out in Seattle and
Pacific Northwest. I mean, basically, anywhere that you may happen to live, some markets are better than others, but there's always local lighting and audio, video, staging, production companies, and you start, you know, sweeping
small,
the floor.
Right?
Yeah, you know, you start. Yeah,
what,
you start
what
small.
Was your first? Where? What do you remember your first gig being? Where it was kind of BS work, but there was something about it that made you look forward to going there.
I was carrying stage risers and building a stage at Riverfront Park in Spokane, Washington for some event that I don't know.
What year was this?
It was like 95, maybe, something like that.
In Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington, yeah.
So the Pacific Northwest in the mid-90s.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was like Eddie Vedder walking around in a flannel. Were you wearing flannels back then?
Yeah, I still do, actually. Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, So what? So that? So you're in Spokane, Washington, yeah, at the time. What was the first, like, where you got a gig, whether it was lighting or whether it was production?
You know where it was, interestingly enough, was the festival at Sandpoint.
We've played there.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. I was the house lighting guy there for a couple of seasons. And Al Jarreau was my first show.
Al Jarreau?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was my first time that, okay, you're the lighting guy, and he doesn't have a lighting guy on the road with him, so, you know, make it look good. And it was a lot of fun, and right then I was like, man, I think I want to do this, you know.
Heck yeah, man.
So it was a great music to run lights to. It was fun.
So how many years ago has that been, like 3 or 4
that
years
ago? That was 96. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
96, maybe 7, something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and that gave me that little
venue. That kind of gave you the excitement to kind of pop off.
Exactly.
One of...
Yeah, and then going to see shows, too, and watching what other people were doing in a bigger arena. And watching and trying
to... Okay, let me pause you for a second, because I had this question that I had to ask myself, but also my family. But at the time, your family, when you told them, like, I'm not going to do a real job for a living. I'm going to go just push buttons and do lights for rock and roll bands and people like that. I mean...
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Isn't it hard in this business to kind of explain to your family and friends are off doing real life work?
Yeah, it is, because nobody understands that, like, this is a regular thing that you can. I mean, the first question is always, "Well, can you support yourself doing that? Can you make a living doing that?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to figure it out. I definitely want to do that, so I will. I'll make sure I do. You know, but it's hard to convince other people that sometimes, you know, parents and
but I also wonder, and I think that's the purpose of this podcast, and that's why I enjoy talking to people like yourselves and everyone else we've talked to on the podcast, is that it's called Good Company, and it's about the good positivity in the things in life. And without thinking positively and thinking with that thought of, I think I kind of want to do this, and I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but I'm going to give it my all. That way, if it doesn't or it does, at least you know you did what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You chased an opportunity and a dream, And you can never look back upon that and feel like you failed.
Right.
You know?
No regrets.
And I love spreading that sort of thing on this, because I think I've read through comments about this show and people saying, I talked to my trainer a couple weeks ago at the gym, and believe it or not, Brandy Clark, who I'm a huge fan of, listens to this podcast, and she said, "Jake, I was so motivated by listening to you talk to Jeremy, your trainer, that I want to meet him." And so, anyways, my purpose in this is that people are out there listening to this, and you don't realize, but hearing stories like yours, Chris, and you as well, Zeke, how many people are getting inspired by and realizing, wait a second, I can go do something like that too. And that brings me a lot of joy, knowing that we're able to kind of put the positivity out there for people that might be second guessing, maybe taking a career chance. But when they hear people like yourselves and Jeremy and whoever it is, I've talked to random people, Fowler, that the possibilities are out there.
Yep.
if you have the passion for something and you have the work ethic, which both of you guys do. That's why you're great at what you do.
Yep.
I know. Yeah.
I think you nailed it. Yeah,
right?
Whatever it is, be passionate and work really hard and you'll be successful one way or the other.
Yeah. So here we are this morning. We met at one of the great parts about doing this podcast. We were already getting ready to meet a little bit later on a tour meeting. And on my schedule, it says tour meeting. And what that is we're going to start talking about everything going forward on this new tour. Everything from, you know, costs, obviously, of things that are happening, to lighting and video, a lot of video content for the video screens this year. And making sure, too, I think people out there would like to know, it's not just about us. We have two other artists on this tour with us. So taking care of Chris Jansen and his crew, Jordan Davis and his crew. What is it that you guys think you're looking forward to the most about this Life's What You Make It tour? Which, by the way, Life's What You Make It kind of leads us back to what we were just talking about.
Sure.
Everything's kind of swirling around in the same world right now. Life's What You Make It Tour for us is about getting out there and putting on a show where people can escape from the day-to-day reality and have a blast with their friends and families, create some memories. For you guys, what is it? Do you feel pressure? Like, I feel pressure. I'm not going to lie. I do. I have a lot of pressure upon me. It's a good pressure. I've always felt like I do better when I put a little bit of pressure upon myself to succeed. So y'all, in your roles in this organization, what pressure do you feel behind the scenes? You know, is that a fair question to ask?
I think there's always some level of pressure, but as you said, kind of excelling under that is I sort of share that with you. I feel that.
If you don't have that pressure there of making you feel like some, you have this
there's like a deadline maybe, or just you're just making sure you're trying to figure out how best to be organized with everything and what deadlines need to get met when and following up and all that stuff, and feeling the confidence of, okay, I feel like I have adequately covered these bases, I always say, whether it's programming the console, lighting, or doing advanced work, I always say it feels good to get some work done. You know, it feels good to have some work done. Yeah.
And then once you get that work done, it's got to be just as fulfilling for you sitting out there doing the lights as it is for us on stage, because we have two different vantage points. I'm looking out at the crowd.
Right.
You are sitting out in the crowd,
seeing what the crowd's seeing.
Chris is the guy that's sitting out there, in the what do you call that area?
Front of house.
Oh, it's front of house. Yeah. What are those things called? Like barricades?
Yeah, it's like a barricade with a.
When you guys look back into the middle part of the house and you see the guys back there with the spaceship looking boards around them with all these buttons on it, that's Chris back there.
Yeah.
But you're able to see us from the vantage point of the fans every night.
Right.
So to be immersed amongst a bunch of people that are drinking and having fun and singing at the top of their lungs, that's got to be a pretty cool, like, it's all coming together and your lighting show and and our music and everything's coming, that's got to be pretty fulfilling.
It's a lot of fun.
Fulfilling for me being on stage.
Yeah, it's absolutely a rush, to be out in the middle of that excitement and the energy of the crowd, and sometimes affecting how the crowd reacts to a blackout or a big, when you're addressing the crowd and you and you and I light up the audience and things like that, and seeing the different things. On
what there. Are you laughing at? Yeah, is there a question?
Somebody referred to, as you were trying to describe what that area is, someone referred to it as, it's a stay away from Jake Gate.
Nah, see, these guys will tell you, I don't try to stay away from fans.
No, you seek it out, man.
I seek it out. Like, I want to feel you. I want not just musically. I want to touch your hand. I want to know that you're there enjoying yourself. And that's why I can't take it sometimes when those barriers are up. That's why I jump off the stage a lot of times and just run out in the crowd.
I love it.
Yeah.
We tell the guys in the security meeting, which is another thing that happens every day during the show.
See, that's another
day.
Thing. People have no idea. There's we need to tell you guys out there that are listening. So there's security briefings, which are, well, they're needed these days after, obviously, everything we've been through.
Of course, yeah.
But so what do you talk about in a briefing?
You get all the security together, the head of the security, you hand them all a pass sheet so they know what the passes are, what each pass is for. You discuss times for special things, meet and greets and things like that you may need certain security for. But most of the time, the biggest part of the security meeting for me is to say, guys, Jake will leave the stage.
Yeah.
So prepare yourself for Jake. I don't know what song it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to happen.
What did you? So for I don't know how many
going
people
to go
I saw
off the stage.
I saw on Instagram a second ago. People were commenting. They said that I had a good show at Stagecoach, which I appreciate. We did. We had a great
show, man.
Great time at Stagecoach. But when you were at front of house, did you see when I did a stage dive at Stagecoach?
No, I think I might have missed that. I know you went out into the crowd, but I don't know if I saw you do the stage dive.
Oh, yeah.
We were way far back at that one. That was way far away.
I witnessed it from stage left.
What did you think of that stage dive?
Well, I mean, I first of all, I was like, I was standing next to Tim, HOA, our monitor
it's
guy.
Tim HOA. Yeah.
And I was trying to look at the set list. It was really windy, and I was kind of thinking about a few different things. And I saw you go down there, and I was like, wait a minute. And like, it was funny because after the show, you said, I thought, let's just, I'm going to just do this. And I was like, is he going? And I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
And I looked at Tim, and he goes, my God. And immediately, my very first thought is like, okay, well, I'm all the way over here, and Jake is in the crowd. And I look down and I see Ron Fightmaster.
Yeah, Ron Fightmaster.
Always right where you need him.
Ron's our stage manager.
Stage manager, set carpenter, drum tech.
He's pretty much a jack of all trades.
He is unbelievable.
If you need Tabasco sauce, he's got that.
He's got it right here.
Right there.
Salt and pepper, man. Literally.
He carries
salt and peppers.
Yeah.
Well,
Jason just called your stage dive epic.
Who did?
Robin from California
called the stage dive epic. For those of you guys, we only got a few more minutes here. We won't keep you too long. If there's anybody on there that you see that has questions for us.
A question came in and said, how did you come up with the idea to tour minor league baseball stadiums?
Thanks to our friends at William Morris, our agent. They had a great idea to go out this summer, Friday and Saturday nights, and play these minor league baseball stadiums when the baseball teams are out of town for the weekend. We come in and play the field where they're used to playing baseball there during the week. So I'm excited about it. I mean, I grew up being a kid playing baseball, quite frankly, I never thought I'd be at the point in my life where playing on a bar stool in college one day that I would walk out and be playing a minor league baseball stadium and being responsible for the excitement and fun that people are having that night. Y'all go out, you buy tickets, you pay for parking, you pay for $7 to $10 beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to Zeke talking you into buying a t-shirt.
T-shirts.
You'll buy a t-shirt. Maybe
tops.
Maybe you'll want to keep your beer cold, so you buy a koozie. I don't know.
Yeah.
But playing the baseball stadiums this year is going to be a lot of fun. I've thankfully been on tour with lots of great artists. Kenny Chesney, that's how I got to know John Anthony. Kenny Chesney really set the standard for me on how to not only put on an entertaining show, but how to create an atmosphere and a vibe that makes everyone involved just feel good and be excited, right? Mm-hmm. And so thanks, Kenny, man, for teaching people like myself how to do it the right way. We're looking forward to getting out there on the Life's What You Make It tour, because that's what life is. Life genuinely to me is what you make it. If you wake up in the morning and you see it positively, most likely positive things should happen. If you wake up in a negative sort of mindset, it's going to be really hard to get some positivity out of a negative mindset. So
agreed.
I agree. 100%.
I'm pretty positive that we're going to approach this year with a lot of excitement and get out there and have a good time.
Me too.
A lot of international check-ins. You have Alberta, Canada. You have Portugal. Indonesia. And quite a few from London.
Nice. Well, shout out to those across the pond. I appreciate you checking into our Good Company podcast. Any other questions before we roll on out of here? Each week we're going to continue to talk about. We're probably going to be coming to you guys from the road a lot. We're going to be out on the road, and I've done a few, but we'll catch up with guys like Chris Jansen and Jordan Davis. Jordan just had his first number one single. The podcast, as you guys can tell, is always just free flowing. I don't have anything in front of me telling me what to talk about. Anything, we just roll with it.
You called me at 6:45 this morning and said, "Hey, do you want to come do the podcast?"
Yeah, I called.
This is not rehearsed.
6:45 this morning. Actually, called you 6:48 because I wondered if it was too late. And Zeke told me his alarm clock goes off at 6:45. See, Zeke, my alarm clock goes off at 4:45 a.m. So,
all right, so you're saying I got to set my game up?
No, I'm just saying you can't fly with the Eagles if you're out hooting with the Owls. That's what my daddy always said.
I can't believe you. I literally told my Uber driver that exact same thing when I was, I was out with the Owls, but I got out and he said, he was, you know, Uber driver conversations. And he said, he was asking me about this. Oh, you know, are you touring? And I was like, yeah, I'm in tour. And I don't want to get too in depth with it. And he's like, man, you know, anything I need to know as a young guy if I want to try to get in that industry? And I was like, look, if you're you can't soar with the Eagles in the morning, if you're out with the Owls at night. And I actually used that with an Uber driver last night. And I thought, well, but I am out with you. So I'm glad you used it.
People are referencing the song "I Want to Kiss You Good Morning." It's pretty amazing. There's like a lot of
wow. You know, that song "I Want to Kiss You Good Morning" is a song I wrote right when I moved to Nashville. One of the first songs I ever wrote, and it's a song that I never released. I just recorded a demo of it that somehow got. It was at the time when like LimeWire was on or Napster, and it got online. And people ask me about that song all the time. I might need to re-recording that song and actually putting it out, because since then people have always talked about that song. So
great song.
We've been all over the map today. I wanted just to introduce you guys to some two great guys that helped make my world easier. We are all excited to see you on the Life's What You Make It tour, starting on the 18th of this month in Chattanooga, and then we roll over to North Augusta.
Augusta, yeah.
And
the Fighting Lookouts and the Fighting Green Jackets.
Yeah, the Fighting Lookouts and the Fighting Green Jackets. Right. I appreciate you guys, everything you do. I appreciate y'all listening out there. How many people are logged in right now? It says
230.
230 people still hanging in there with us. Well, thanks, guys. It's a Good Company podcast. I always say this. It's people like yourselves that make this name for the show the reason it is. I surround myself with good people. I think it breeds good life. And I appreciate everything you guys do. Thanks to everybody listening out there. We'll see you in a couple weeks here on the Good Company podcast next Tuesday. Until then, we'll see you on the road. Life's What You Make It Tour 2018 with Chris Jansen, Jordan Davis. I'm Jake Owen. It's Good Company, and we'll play you. See you guys.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.